This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Think about the last time you played Monopoly. Maybe you got feedback at work or you watched kids sport on the weekend. Some people lean forward, lock in, and have to win. Others shrug, laugh it off, and move on. So where does that difference come from? And does being competitive actually help us or quietly wear us down? Well, joining me is Inga Gannat, psychologist and lecturer in psychology from Swinburne University of Technology. Inga, welcome to Drive.
Hi, Warren. Thanks for having me.
Are you a competitive person or are you like me, you just run away from it?
Well, that Monopoly reference may have been from my own lived experience. I am a very competitive person.
When we look at people who are ultra competitive versus those who are more laid back, what's the first, I suppose, difference that stands out to you as a psychologist?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different factors that can kind of play into it. One of the important things to think about is the fact that a lot of someone's drive for being competitive can actually come from their genes. So people would tend to be born a little bit more that way inclined, whereas other people might not have necessarily been quite so competitive, but may have found themselves in some different situations, just like you said before, at work or family or school, that really brings out that competitive nature in them. So it's a multifactorial kind of thing that that is probably inherently in all of us to some degree.
Let's just take an example. For example, you might be at the traffic lights and, you know, you can tell someone wants to get there first when the lights go green. My brain always goes, I'm not interested in this race. Do you know what I mean? I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I think the same applies to, say, for example, board games. It's like, you know, I'd rather focus if I'm going to have to win something on something else. So I don't necessarily, you know, there's almost like a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like I'm looking at it from above and thinking, is it worth it?
Oh, I mean, I think that that's a great thing to do. That's a very adaptive way to approach things. And certainly I would do the same thing. Having an adult brain, if I'm at the lights, I'm certainly not looking to kind of get there first. I also drive quite a slow car, but even if I didn't, I don't think that would matter because it's not important to me. And funnily enough, while I joke about sort of the Monopoly thing, I don't really care about a board game now either. And so perhaps it might come out differently depending on which part of our life we're in and what's important to us and what our values and our goals are.
Where does it come from? Does it come from sort of a survival thing, you know, perhaps from earlier ages where we had to survive, we had to hunt for food, all those sorts of things? Where does the competitiveness come from as a concept?
That's a great question. And I think this is the really important part about competitiveness is the other person or the other people that are involved. So lots of people might think of being competitive and being motivated as really similar. And they are actually quite well aligned. So our motivation is when we're feeling like we want to act or behave in a certain way that might bring us enjoyment or that's aligned with our values or that we're curious about or that gives us meaning in life. And being competitive could probably do all those things too. But the thing that's important or central to it is that evolutionary perspective where we are a social species. So in caveman days, the social kind of aspect of it would be that you'd need to have a little bit of competitiveness to be able to gain resources, to reach a particular status within your group, and then also to be able to form different relationships that are important to you.
And when it's almost like, I suppose, the fight or flight thing, isn't it? We can overreact to situations that aren't necessarily tigers chasing us down and about to eat us for their lunch. Is this, is it similar with competition? Is it something that perhaps is a little bit old and we don't necessarily adjust it to today's life?
I think probably, and that might be what we're touching on. So as a person in their mid-40s, this competitive part of me is still very much there, but maybe with a bit more of a grain of salt. Mm. And during our lives, if we're lucky enough, we might be able to notice and become aware of when that tendency to want to strive to outperform others does well for us, or when it may not be helpful. So even if we have that streak, when there's that part of us that almost where our brain reacts like it's a threat. So being able to try and balance that out, and there's lots of different ways that we can do it.
Inga, let's go to, say, the sporting field at primary school, and we see some kids wanting to play sport to win, others more to belong and socialise. What shapes, I mean, you touched on the genetics, but other than that, what shapes those differences so young?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the family could play a really big part of that, couldn't they? Or siblings even. So the environment that we're in. And I think a really important part of that is that finding something that that young person is actually interested in, because aspects of being competitive may actually include sort of more of the process, like the effort involved, the satisfaction from performing well, rather than kind of that winning at all cost, which can then be incredibly disappointing, especially as a young person.
We're chatting with Inga Gannat, psychologist and lecturer in psychology from Swinburne University of Technology, about why some people are highly competitive while others are more relaxed. We want to hear from you as well. Are you fiercely competitive or are you very chilled? 0427 569 949. Inga, Mark in Preston says, ultra competitive at work, but totally relaxed everywhere else.
Love it. Brilliant.
And this one from Jess as well. Board games brings out my worst side and I'm not proud of it.
I can relate. And that's okay. Let's not be hard on ourselves.
Exactly. In adults, though, let's talk about showing up at work. So, like in Mark's case, competitiveness showing up at work. Why do two people who can potentially hear the same feedback at work react so differently?
Yeah. Well, again, it's going to be sort of situation dependent. If you think about the workplace these days, it can be fairly tumultuous. There's a lot of change going on in many workplaces, so that makes it sometimes really quite a stressful environment for people to be in. And with that in mind, things like self-esteem and someone's sense of self-efficacy might really play into that. And even if you contrasted someone who's quite new to the workforce as opposed to someone that may have experienced many of those changes and been able to kind of work on how to receive feedback over time, then their responses could be quite different. But again, if someone is really competitive and you think about that social component part of it, if they then find that maybe if it's negative feedback or an opportunity for growth, then it might just bring up something for them that they need to take some time to reconcile with, and people can respond in lots of different ways.
Inga, let's, we've all known those people, particularly in the workplace, who want to get to a certain point and will step on toes no matter what the consequences are. Where does that sort of, I suppose, go too far in terms of balancing the need to be competitive with the need to socialise as well? Because if you burn too many bridges, you'll end up with everyone against you. So where does that balance lie and how do we get there?
Yeah, so that'll often start to evolve from being a young person, and it's important to remember as well that everybody's brains kind of process information differently. Mm. So for some people, that might be that they kind of think in a more black and white way. Other people are great with a lot of nuance. And so in the workplace, it's about finding a way of catering to all of those different types. But back to your question, what I think can happen is that when someone is behaving in that way, it can come across as more of like a dominance. It's derived or driving from a sense of dominance, and that can unfortunately create conflict. And like you said, it means that the person may not be very well liked. And, you know, I think that the people around them, their friends and their colleagues and their managers can probably help in helping that person to understand other people's perspectives and even just the result, like what happens as a result of their behaviours.
Claire in Box Hill says, competitive parents made me anxious, not motivated. Mm. Just on that, Inga, there's a difference, I suppose, between enjoying competition and being consumed by it. How do we tell where that line is, where it's making someone anxious?
That is such a great point, and that sounds really hard. I suppose, what she said is a really good sort of gauge. Like, how do you feel in your body, and how does it make you feel about whatever that activity is? So whether it's sport or playing a game or even often schoolwork. And I suppose as parents, if you find that you're quite a competitive person, it's fine to want to your children to do really well. That's great. Mm. But also accepting that each person is different, and they might actually not like the same things as you do.
That's a good point, isn't it? Because often we do assume that others like the same things or find them interesting. But then when you look at that blank look on their face saying, I'm bored, you can realise that they're certainly not. Just on competitiveness being bad for us, let's talk about social comparison, because, you know, a lot of us constantly measure ourselves against others. Is that a healthy competitiveness, or is it negative, or can it be both?
I think it can be both. So, you know, it can be really helpful to be able to gauge how we sit, where we sit in comparison to others, because we can learn a lot from that. Mm. And it can help to, you can learn stuff about what you might want to do. So we can also be inspired by what other people are doing. But you're right, it can definitely be something where it can leave someone feeling not good enough. And that's when it can be a real problem, because it's increasing things like stress and maybe even kind of anxiety and depression.
Inga, I'll just finish on this note. Alex in Northcote says, I just play to have fun and always have. I wonder how much our experience of sport, I know in my case sport was a horrible time, I hated it, shaped whether we're competitive or not. Could that play a part as well?
Maybe. I mean, I don't have a sporting bone in my body, and I'm very competitive, so...
Oh, there you go.
I don't know. No, yeah.
So it sounds very individual.
Yeah, I think it's a really individual thing, but being aware of it and thinking about when we feel it in ourselves and how we can use it in a way that helps us and doesn't hurt us is just a really great thing. And knowing that there's some value in it.
True. Inga, good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Inga Gannett, psychologist and lecturer in psychology from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.